One is, you mentioned clearly, I usually, 99% of the time I prosecute, I follow personally whatever Rav Luchenstein does. And as I mentioned last week, Rav Luchenstein follows the Rav Zatzal that did not ever make a Birkat Gomel on a flight. Just, in other words, just by the virtue of flying, either overseas or over a desert or of anything, the Rav Zatzal did not make a Birkat Gomel at the end of the travel. Point number two, since last week I saw in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, in the Sefer Tshuvos of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, he felt that if a person saw something that would be Mechayev Birkat Re'iyah, as an example, to see an incredible mountain or to see an ocean or to see a melech, each one, you know, whatever bracha you would be chayiv in each one of those cases, and a person forgot or didn't realize that he was supposed to make a bracha, so if he sees it afterwards, even if he sees it within 30 days, Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that a person should make a bracha. You got that? In other words, you saw the Yam HaGadol and you forgot to make, you didn't realize to make a bracha Ha'oset Yam HaGadol or Kocho Gvurot HaMalei Olam, and then you learned about it, and then after you learned about it, you're supposed to make a bracha, you then see it again. So there would have been a Havamina to say, well, you already saw it within 30 days and therefore you don't make a bracha. Rav Shlomo Zalman says no, that if you didn't make a bracha the first time, you would still make a bracha.
How often can you make an enlightenment
on the bracha? So the Achronim speak about that, whether you could, you know, be constantly making a bracha if there's a lot of lightning, etc. The more accepted direction is to say that in one day you only make it once. You know, one storm you make it once and you don't make it again.
If the storm lasts, if it's raining, just 2 days or a day and a half, so the next day
you can make another bracha, but you wouldn't be constantly making a bracha with every lightning. Yes, Zach.
According to that, or what just said, what you said, quoted by him, tomorrow, when you next see Rav Aaron, should we make a bracha? According to that.
Well, what again?
When we next see Rav Aaron.
I don't know. I don't know. I never made a bracha on it. I don't know. Eitan, yeah.
If the sight is a wondrous sight, it's somewhat natural in the sense that you're seeing it from the plane, right? You expect to see it from the plane, no? But the sight is actually a wondrous sight in and of itself. But that's going to be...
I'm not following you.
Really, when you fly over the Grand Canyon, when you're looking out the plane window, it's natural to see a large landscape, but seeing a large landscape in and of itself is an unnatural event. Is it specified at that time, or is it just the object in and of itself you'll make a probe on it? I mean, from your viewpoint, it's natural to see it, but from other people's viewpoints, it's completely unnatural.
You want to say that from a particular vantage point, it doesn't look spectacular.
Right.
But in general, from another vantage point, it does look spectacular.
Right. Well, that's true.
Of Eitan's question is to say Kocho Gvurot HaMalei Olam, does it require a sense of awe when you see these things, or is it just that Chazal were koveya on these objects because they normally cause a sense of awe? These are the bracha you're supposed to be making on them. Interesting. I'll try to do some research. I never came across that question. It's an interesting question. Okay. Anyways, I got to move on. I got to start a new topic because I'll never be able to finish it. And before we were interrupted by this last topic of travel and Hanukkah, we had started a couple of things that pertain to Hilchot Shabbat. So I want to return to Hilchot Shabbat. and I want to speak about the Gezeira of Amira La'akum, or the concept of Dabar Dabar. Chazal made a Gezeira limiting our speech on Shabbat. In other words, the main point of the shiur is going to be focusing on what you're allowed to say to a non-Jew as far as malacha, etc. But the reason why Chazal made that gezeira was because, according to most Rishonim, was because they didn't want Jews to come to actually do a malacha on their own. According to other Rishonim, we'll soon see that they held it was a mitzvah d'oraita. But what I want to focus on today is just the general concept of limiting a speech on Shabbat, Isur Dibur. Okay, the general Isur of Dibur, or limit of speech on Shabbat, the source for it, as the Gemara in Shabbos brings, is a pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Nun Chet, pasuk Yud Gimel, Im Tashiv Mi Shabbat Raglecha Asot Chafatzecha Biyom Kodshi. If you return, or if you correct, or follow correctly the rest of your feet, or the rest of what you normally do, to pursue your normal wants on my holy day, the karata of Shabbat Oneg, and you call the Shabbat a day of pleasure or of rest, l'kadosh Hashem mechubad, to sanctify God, v'kibad ato mi'asot derechecha, you honor God from not doing what you normally do on Shabbat, mimtzo chafetzecha, to pursue your wants, v'daber davar, and speak your speech. What the Navi is basically saying is that the proper way to relate to Shabbat is to see it as a sanctified day, and your normal habits or your normal actions on Shabbat have to reflect the sanctity of the day. You shouldn't be pursuing certain pursuits, things like business and commerce, etc. And you shouldn't be, and you also shouldn't be speaking in the way you normally speak. The Gemara in Shabbat Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph says V'daber Davar, quoting the end of the pasuk, Shelo Yehei Diburecha Shel Shabbat Ki Diburecha Shel Chol. Your speech on Shabbat should not be the same speech as it is during the weekday. Tosfos on the Daf actually quotes the name of Rabbeinu Tam, who is Madaik from the Yerushalmi, that a person should bechlal not speak very much on Shabbat. As Rabbeinu Tam was Madaik from Yerushalmi, that a person should limit, in other words, to speak as little as possible on Shabbat. There were some people that actually did that. There were other people that were makbid to speak Lashon Kodesh, to speak Hebrew, specifically on Shabbat. Obviously, now that it was zocha to live in Israel, it's not a big kunst to speak Hebrew on Shabbat. But I'm saying in Europe and Chutz La'aretz, there were people that, following this recognition that Shabbat is a special day, would actually speak Hebrew. Anyway, halacha l'maisa, what the Shulchan Aruch paskins, is number one, when it comes to speaking about a devar malacha, doing a malacha on Shabbat, it is asur for a person to enunciate the action of a malacha on Shabbat. In other words, a person can't say, I'm going to bake a cake on Motzei Shabbat. You're not allowed to say that sentence in any language. A person shouldn't even say that I'm going to drive to Yerushalayim on Shabbat, since driving specifically is an action which is asur on Shabbat. A person should not describe what they're going to be doing, malacha, after Shabbat. I'm not talking about hachana, making plans on Shabbat. Mi'ikra din, there's not a problem of talking about plans and things that you want to do after Shabbat. The problem is if the plans or if what you're describing is to describe a malacha, one of the lametet malachot, b'chal, you should not be talking about doing malacha because of this concept of daber davar. In other words, it violates the sanctity of Shabbat on a rabbanon level, the pashtut, that you're supposed to sanctify Shabbat in your speech. What a person can do is to say, let's go to Yerushalayim. I'm going to Yerushalayim. You could probably even say something like, I'll give you a lift, because I don't think that that's as mufurash, That's not a problem. But you can't. You should not specifically talk about melachot. It is even not proper to talk about how to bake a cake or how to cook a particular food on Shabbat. A person should refrain from that if his description, his or her description, includes a particular melacha. Yes.
If going to Yerushalayim is outside of Islam, that's not an issue. Say, well, go to Yerushalayim.
That's an interesting question. I don't think so. In other words, I don't think you still. In other words, I don't think the word "go" is necessarily describing a melacha. But that's a good point. Yes.
Is there a problem at all talking about melacha that you did during the week?
Pardon me?
Is there a problem at all talking about melacha that you did previously during the week?
Oh, in the past, like I baked this cake?
Yeah.
I don't think so. In other words, an example is brought by the Shulchan Aruch and the Achronim. They don't talk about that much about the past. Yeah.
Is anything asr on Shabbos, or it's just melacha? Like, does it include your Abana? Like, washing a movie necessarily doesn't have to be like a melacha.
Right, right. The Shulchan Aruch refers to specifically melacha. Don't know whether you should not be talking about the Rabbanans, but that's the basic idea, you know, is that not to discuss something that's also to do on Shabbat. The second thing the Shulchan Aruch quotes in conjunction with his din is, how many Sfardim are out there? Okay. As you know, usually the Ramah is more machmer than Shulchan Aruch. So for the few times where the Ramah is more makel than the Shulchan Aruch, us Ashkenazim like to celebrate and to point this out. In this particular case, this is the Shulchan Aruch Paskin. So Shulchan Aruch says that it is also to speak Devarim Betalim on Shabbat. A person can't speak Devarim Betalim on Shabbat. I'll actually read you the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. V'daber davar shelo yehi diburecha shel Shabbat ki diburecha shel chol. This is the Shulchan Aruch quoting the Gemara. Hilkach Asur lomar davar ploni e'eseh l'machar o schora plonit ekne l'machar. That's an issur d'rabbanan. Okay, you shouldn't even say I'm going to buy this and buy that. Okay, unfortunately I don't have the time to tell you the story about the guy sitting around the shtibol and talking about the car that, you know, Nishtav Shabbos Karet, he wanted to sell. But anyways, and the Shulchan Aruch continues and says Ba'afilu b'sichat devarim betelim asur laharbot. Person should limit the Dvarim Betelim. Dvarim Betelim is just silly talk. Talk that you just pass the time of day. There's no tachlif in what you're saying. That's Dvarim Betelim. And so the Shulchan Aruch says, Asur Laharbot, you can't speak a lot of Dvarim Betelim. Yes?
What's
Siman? Huh? This is found. What's Siman? This is found in Shin Zayin. It's a combination of, I mean, this I think is specifically Shin Zayin, but he also refers to it in Reish Nun Bet as well. Okay? So now the Ramah comments on that in the name of the Truma Radeshin. Ubnei Adam shesipu shemu'ot v'divrei chidushim hu oneg lehem. Those individuals who like to hear chadashot, or they, you know, they just like to hear the raid, they like their yentis. They like, you know, they like to talk. Oh, did you hear this or did you hear that? If it's a pleasure to them to hear shmuot or to tell chidushim, mutar l'safram b'shabbat kemo b'chol. Then, because it's onik Shabbat, because you enjoy talking about it, as an example, football scores, baseball scores, etc., etc., for Sfardim, it's absolutely awesome. Okay? But for Ashkenazim, those Ashkenazim that get hana from talking sports, and telling, oh, did you hear what the score was, etc., etc., it's an oneg. But the Ramah says, Avamisha eino mit aneg, if you don't get oneg from speaking these Devarim Betelim, asur la'amram kedei shiyit aneg behem chavero. You can't, in other words, you don't really care about the scores, or you don't care about that particular team, but you know your friend's a fan of that team, so the Ramah is already paskening that you're not allowed to tell him, because it's an issur dibur, because he's supposed to be limiting your dibur. Which is interesting. You would think that the normal person, although you don't get hana, should get hana by the fact that his friend gets hana. But the Ramah says, "Asur le'omram kedei shi'itaneg behem chavero." Yes,
that. Isn't that safek hana? Because if your team loses,
what?
Safek hana. If your team loses, that's even trouble. And you and
Well, you know. No, you heard the score, and you're going to speak to your friend to let him know what the score is.
Does that mean it?
Did you ask?
So like,
well, if you're not going, then they know that the team lost.
Yes.
I just want to make sure this whole SRD word is Darabon, right?
Well, yes, but partially it's Darabon. This aspect is Darabon. Okay. All right. Now, what about? So. By the way, this is where the issue of talking about, you know, closing deals and business, etc. I grew up in an area we always went to a shtiebel where there were multi-million-dollar deals that were closed before during Pesukei Dezimra. up into Barchu, it was like a commodities market around the table there, and Bepashut is also okay. But what about Lidvar Mitzvah, a very common application? Selling aliyahs on Shabbos, or right, giving a person aliyah and then announcing that he gave this and this amount of money for the aliyah, that's also a problem of Dabar Davar. In other words, you're announcing money and you're announcing buying and selling, is it mutter?
Well,
so the Achronim Acholek with Bar Mitzvah, the Magen Avraham says, and the Gra both say it's still aser and it shouldn't be done. And the Eliyahu Rabba felt that it's mutter, while the Mishnah Berurah comes and kind of like comes to a pshara and says, Nachon lahachmir, it is better to be machmir natu, but if it's to be machazek, in other words, if this is the only way that you know that it'll be machazek doing this particular mitzvah, as an example, announcing how much Moshe Goldberg just gave for this aliyah, so that the next time, you know, the next aliyah, the next person will try to top what Moshe Goldberg gave, or that Moshe Goldberg would want to give so much money because it's kind of important to him that people know that he gave so much money. And that's, Mishnah Berurah, it says that would be mutter. And he quotes, he mentions the minhag of Aliyat L'Torah mentioning, you know, how much money people are giving for an aliyah. Yes, Shlomo.
Who says that it's mutter to do this? To
the Eliyahu Rabba. Eliyahu Rabba. Eliyahu with an Aleph. Aleph Lamed Yud Hey. Eliyahu Rabba. Some people call him the Eliyahu Rabba, but that's not his name. Eliyahu Rabba. Yes?
So, Devar Batel were just talking that it's supposed to pass the time and it's not something that actually interests you or anything like that. I just assume that even most people don't know this, or if they do, it's just too difficult for people to do this. Why? I know it's from the Pasuk, so it's like different in the video, it's not just like I say anything that we're running afterwards, but isn't it like too difficult for people to really do, or... We assume that like, there should be a wide scale, like whole kind of movement for this, not saving things that are totally irrelevant and stupid all of Shabbos.
Let me ask you a question. If I offered you $100,000 if you did this, could you do it?
Okay, so your garments is better.
No, I'm saying I think you're just selling yourself and your entire community short and assuming that you can't do it. You could do it. It's just that you don't know anybody who does it, so you just say it's crazy. You know? You know, you might one day, you know, meet a non-Jew and he asks you, do you don't turn lights on and off on Saturday? Like, that's completely humanly impossible. You know? It could be done.
Okay, and so I guess in terms, like, where do we, if someone doesn't know about this, where would you draw? Like, that's the one to insult them if they don't know what you're talking about. And you
want to
see, like,
I want you to know, my grandfather was knowing in Europe to speak Hebrew.
If someone starts talking to you, Dvar Batel, like, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
Like, oh, sorry, Shabbos, I'm not going to.
You're not talking, you don't talk. Yeah, you tell them the incredible Chiddush you just, you know, learned. Or tell them Dvar Torah on the Parsha. Either they'll get the message or disassociate with you. Yes, Kaplan. It's very hard to define it, but it's something that's not pragmatic and it's just leisure. It's just leisure talk.
Like about Kaplan, there's no purpose to it. Like, how often do people talk about things that really have no purpose to it? Either it's something they're interested in or it's something practical they have to deal with. How often do you come across something that's just battling away?
Is that a trick question? I don't. I really think I think maybe part of the reason why it's hard for you to grasp what's going on here is because we were brought up in a culture that's rich in leisure. You know, in other words, it's a business. There's no business like show business. That's a tzedakah. Leisure is a business. The billions and billions of dollars that are invested in Dvarim B'Teilim, it boggles the mind if you think about it. So it is a little bit hard for us to envision a day without Dvarim B'Teilim. But it would be an interesting exercise to try it once. You know, you say Bli Neder, and you try it once. Yeah.
Number one, if according to the Ramah, Dvarim B'Teilim is nullified by anything really that gives you owner, even if objectively there are B'Teilim, so does that mean that number one, if conducting business is going to...
No. He's not talking about he's talking only Dvarim B'Teilim. We're not talking about the Divrei Malacha. Business is Divrei Malacha.
But it could be non Divrei Malacha. You could say,
to acquire something is Malacha.
But we'll bring in, I'm going to introduce you to such and such and such a person, and we're going to sit down and have our waters look at, and all that. None of that is
yes,
Malacha.
Yes, correct.
And that's going to bring you Oneg, and essentially that's
right.
Business. So that's
right. And no, it's a Kinyan Shabbos. You'll have to be called a Karkan Shabbos.
I don't want to get into it.
And then also, if essentially you run out of
things
to talk about, and therefore you are now...
Sakonis Nefashos, he's saying. If you cut up a person's Dvarim B'Teilim, then he might just die.
No, not that. It's gonna negatively impact his, for example, if you're sitting around.
So that's what the Ramah says, that if it's oneg to you, that if it's oneg to you, it's mutter. That's what he says.
So as
that's the heter.
Which means that you can pretty much do anything because any Dvarim B'Teilim is presumably oneg to you just as the fact that it's going up time.
He's mechalek that you can't do it to entertain the other person.
Okay,
let's move on. Right, let's go now to the main thing I want to focus on, and that's Amir al-Akum. Okay? Amir al-Akum, in other words, telling a non-Jew to do a malacha on Shabbos. And I said to you, I mentioned before, that some Rishonim see it as a Derabbanan, some as a Deraita. How would you see it as a Deraita? So, the Urayim, one of the Bali Tosfos, the Urayim, holds it as a Deraita, and he kind of makes up, or brings down a drasha that's not found in Shas, where he says, lo ye aseh malacha, and he explains the word ye aseh is to cause to be done. In other words, if you're causing to be done a malacha, that in itself, that action of causing it verbally, is the isur, and therefore he sees it on a deraita level. Rashi uses the word deraita in describing dabar davar. In other words, he thinks the makor is dabar davar, and therefore, obviously, it's not literally deraita because it's from the Navi Yeshayahu, but he sees it as something beyond just a simple derabanan. Most Rishonim, however, hold like the Rambam that it's a derabanan, and in order not to turn Shabbos into a joke where people, just have, let's say, non-Jews doing everything for them and telling them to do this and don't do that, it would erode the nature of Shabbat, even might come to doing malacha yourself. So an interesting discussion of Machlokas Rishonim is, what about telling a goy to do a malacha before Shabbat? Now, as you tell your maid, when we finish the meal tonight, I want you to shut the lights. Okay? Are you allowed to do that? So according to the Urayim, it would be mutter. Because the issue is to lo yasem malacha, to cause malacha to be done. Your action has to be done on Shabbat. Masha'en Kain, according to the Rambam, it would be osur. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, again, like the Rambam, that it's osur. You can't tell a maid or a goy before Shabbat to do a malacha on Shabbat. Okay, that's included in the Takana Rabbanan. You can't do it. What about Rabiza? What about giving a hint? Okay, a hint would be something like... No. A hint would be something like, I wish somebody could shut the light. That's what I mean by Rabiza. There are three different levels. This is kind of like a middle level where you say, I wish someone would shut the light. Okay. Now, I'm going to be giving you examples where the malacha that the goy does not cause any hana to you at all. There's no pleasure from that because there's a second gezeira that Rabbanan made, and that's called Maaseh Shabbat. Maaseh Shabbat means A Jew is not allowed to get hanah from a malacha that a goy does on Shabbat. Two separate gezeirah. And in order to learn, you know, basically, in order to be able to know when something's completely mutter, you really have to deal with both those gezeirah. Today, I'm only focusing on dibur. Okay, so the examples I'm going to give you is something where there isn't hanah. So someone where you ask, well, shutting the light, what greater hanah comes to a Jew than saving money? That is true. There is a great hanah to Jews to save money, but halachically, darkness or absence of light is not considered a davar sheish po hanah. It's not like there's no chayfetz of hanah, and therefore that's the example I'm giving. Is it mutter to say in front of your maid or butler, whatever you have, to say, "Oh, I wish someone would shut the light"? Okay. So the Rama says that's awesome. You can't say that either. You're not allowed to be Romeis. But the Mishnah Berurah points out that if you do a Ramiza that doesn't have Lashon Sivui, in other words, you don't use the phrase shut the light, but you use a phrase like, oh, what a terrible waste of money. You know, the light's on. And then the maid has to interpret that if it would be off, you'd be saving money, and that maybe she should shut the light. That depends on, you know, how bright of a maid you have. And she goes and shuts that off. The Mishnah Berurah says that's mutter.
Want to give code words?
The Mishnah, no. Code words is a way of communicating. It's a command. You understand? If you tell your maid, when I say the word sit, that means shut the light, so then that's a command.
No, meaning you say before Shabbat, you say, if I happen to mention that it's annoying.
No,
that
so that's communication. It's the same thing. It's a command. But if you say, oh, you know, what a waste of electricity or whatever, you know, you make an observation, and the person on their own will decide whether to do or not. So the Mishnah Berurah says that's not considered remiza, and that's mutter. Right? So there's an example, a practical example, where you could utilize the services of a non-Jew to do a malacha that would be mutter, as long as you're careful, you know, that there shouldn't be any Lashon Sivur. Yes?
We're talking about only Dibur here? Like, what about pointing to the light? Or?
So if the pointing to the light is interpreted to be a command, where you're telling the person to do something, it would be awesome. Yeah?
I know a family of which they have a maid that's been working up for years, and she essentially knows by now that an exasperated comment concerning something bad is essentially a command.
Lashon Sivur.
Right. Would that be because of Lashon Sivur?
Yeah, I think so. Yes. I think so. And if she knows that if she doesn't hop to that you're going to get upset at her for not listening, so to speak, then I think that is it becomes a secret.
Well, it's not that you weren't going to say, it's that she sort of knows, well, she knows you're not going to tell her to do something, but she knows you're going to make comments on Shabbat in the sense that you sort of want this to be done and you can't do it.
Again, you have to be able to judge according to the context whether the person sees that as a command or not. Yeah.
Two questions. One, what if it isn't in your hanah? Let's say the light in the bedroom is left on. You can't sleep with the light on.
Right. I'm saying that even that is not halachically hanah. In other words, the Isra hanah, which I'm trying not to speak about too much this week, but the Isra hanah requires an object to be created that has a chayfet that becomes also because of the gezeirah.
And is it a bigger problem halacha than tefillin? In other words,
there's a chayfet that you're getting hanah from. You're talking about is it more of a malacha? They're both malacha. No, they're both malacha for a Jew to do, and it wouldn't make a difference. As far as the hanah, again, I don't want to speak about it this week. Yeah.
If you go into a goy, gee, it's dark in here, and instead of interpreting,
we're not going to talk about it's dark in here. Gee, it's too light in here.
Okay, gee, it's too light in here. Fine. Gee, it's too light in here, and instead of interpreting that they shut the light, they say, do you want me to shut the light? And you can't say...
You could say, I am not allowed to answer that.
if you say I'm not allowed to answer that,
It happens all the time, by the way. When you really need something, they'll ask, you mean you want me to do this? You say, I'm not allowed to tell you that. It's entertaining.
Well, I'm not allowed to tell you that, but some people I've heard say, like, I'm not allowed to ask you to shut the light. And most of the goyim will think, oh, he does want me to shut the light. Would that be a tzibur?
Look, the light might then say to you, okay, you're not allowed to answer me that, but if you want me to do it, blink your eyes. So you say to the guy, I can't do that either.
I can't.
Okay.
You have to worry whether
you communicated a command or not. That's what you have to worry about.
So even if they know already it's a command, but as long as you're not saying it, they have the command.
No. The communication is the way the two human beings perceive what's being communicated. That's the definition of communication. So I guess essentially you do have to worry about how he perceives what you're doing. Yes, Kaplan. Yes, I'll get to that at the end of this year.
Are we going to be discussing, like, if somebody... Probably.
Hello.
I got someone who has, drunk people over their house, like, Friday night, including, like, non-Jews, and it's, like, the person, like, they're all friends with each other, so the non-Jewish people know that they can't turn off the lights. They know that when they say, oh, it's time for everyone to go, that's the cue for them to turn off the lights. Is that okay? It's, like, it's not...
I mean, they say that, they'll say the sentence, it's time for everybody to go.
No, it's like, when people start leaving, they know that that's...
No, that's not an Amira. There's no Amira. You didn't do anything.
If you've explained them before, if you can't explain them before.
You can't explain to them before, but if they figure out on your own that you prefer it that way, you didn't do an Amira. I'm only focusing on Amira now. You did not do anything to communicate that the person should do it.
So if you said it's time
they
to do
know
it.
That you like to save money, that you never told them. Okay?
You could say
wait, let me do a couple more halachot, maybe I'll be touching. Remiza before Shabbat. As an example, Mary, why didn't you shut the lights last Friday night when we finished eating? Okay, that's like a remiza before Shabbat. The Shulchan Aruch says that's mutter.
When you say it.
As long as you don't say that on Shabbos. And as you said, you say this before Shabbos. You don't tell her, please shut the lights when we finish eating. That's an amira. But a remiza, or I would like or to say either, why didn't you shut the lights last Shabbos, or it would be nice if someone could shut the lights whenever we finish eating. That's a remiza before Shabbos, and Shulchan Aruch passes that's murta. Another interesting machlokas achronim is what about amira la amira? You know, it's to tell Christopher to tell Mary to shut the lights. Christopher, please tell Mary to shut the lights. Are you allowed to say that on Shabbat? So, Rabbi Kiva Egan and Chassam Sofer both held that was murta. Of course, you would have to hire two non-Jews on Shabbos to do your work. But they held that it was mutter. The Mishnah Bura felt it was usur unless it was a makom hefseh. And, you know, you can find yourself in situations where that's a very good eitzah. In other words, when there's something you really have to give instructions to, and you don't want to, you know, you don't really want to be over an amir l'akom. So Mishnah was saying, it's a hefseh gadol, you have two goyim, you can tell one, please instruct this other person to go to the fuse box and, you know, do that, this, that, or the other thing.
But you might have to decide, no, I'm going to do the lights and I'm going to do it myself.
You didn't do an amira. You didn't tell him to do it. You didn't tell him to do it. You specifically told Christopher to tell Mary to do it. Yes?
And Christopher ended up telling Mary that the Jew would like you to talk to light.
For what?
That's perfect, okay?
Yeah, that's right.
Thought that the whole purpose of making like Amira Usher and all this stuff was that like we wouldn't lose like Tom Shabbos and that you would have to do it itself. And all these things still apply in any of these shinois, even when you tell them that one.
No, I disagree. I disagree. In other words, you're being mocked not to give commands. You're not giving specific instructions of doing a malacha. You are achieving, you know, that it's not going to be a normal life. And they're asking, oh, what if we make up a code system? I said, that's not mutter to make up a code system.
But if you end up doing this every week, it becomes so regular that it's...
If it becomes regular that it comes a command, it will be us, or otherwise
but
not.
But all of these things, like most of the time, we're talking about things that you want to do every single day.
I don't know. I can't see if you're being cautious for a situation I don't see practically happening. It could happen. But I don't see it practically happening.
All these things, are when you have the maid in your house, they're in your house every week.
Right, so if the maid realizes that you prefer the lights shut, so she's allowed to shut the lights. You're not allowed to do anamira.
I thought the whole institution was to get rid of, or it seems like the original...
So I'm saying it. I think it does most of the job. You are saying, oh, you know, Jews can always figure a way out of doing something. That's true, but it's not going to transform the whole situation where you're giving instructions of a goy to do every malach that you want to do on Shabbos. Pillow.
When you're asking, when you do the amira, it's just setting a shaliach to do something that you can't do.
There's no gzeira of amira la amira. Simple as that. I'm not going to sugi of shlichus. Yes, Alex.
Here at Goy's house, can you tell him to turn off, and you're sleeping there, can you tell him to turn off the light in your room because it'll benefit him?
No.
But it'll benefit him though.
No. You can't tell a person to do a malacha. Yes, Daniel.
I assume you're alive at the time of year and not the ma'aseh when Goy does the ma'aseh, right?
Very good point. It's a very good point. Daniel's making a point that you're going to be over on the issue of the Rabbanan when you do the Amira. Whether she listens to you or not is not really relevant. It's also for you to tell her shut the lights, or if you tell her shut the lights and then she reminds you, oh, it's Osir, the Shulchan Aruch says it's Osir. You're still over on the Isir by telling her please shut the lights. Yes, so what's your question?
And if that's the case, then let's say you buy actually over on it.
I don't think you're not hired to tell her don't shut the lights.
You're not
being a part of what you did. Yes, Adir.
She does it. If you grab her on the head, can you say thank you? Like, is that all right?
She shut the lights. I mean, on her own initiative, she sees you're finished in that room, and she shut the lights, and you want to say thank you.
I'm saying, like,
yes?
I'm saying, is that somebody taking credit for the law?
I don't think it's a problem to say thank you. Yes?
If we're saying that the whole issue is the Amira and it's not contingent upon the action, then shouldn't it make a difference if you say the Amira before Shabbat? Because if the whole Isser for you is the Amira,
They made a Gezeira. You're not doing an Amira.
Oh, that's
Gezeira? It's a Gezeira. We're talking Gezeira. Amira, we're talking about Amira la'akum. We're going like Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rambam. It's a gzeira.
Thank you. The Amira before Shabbos
is awesome. It's awesome. You're perplexed that there's certain isurim that are chal before Shabbos. It's awesome. Yeah. Zach.
How does the Shabbos go like that?
Huh?
How does the Shabbos go like shoes and stuff?
How does the Shabbos goy work? This is what the shir is about. This is Hilchos Shabbos goy. This is Hilchos Shabbos goy. This is what it. This is what it's supposed to do. Yes.
My letter order one day shipping on Friday.
One day shipping on Friday. No, that. That's next week. It's next week. Well, maybe you're saying it's even it's kind of like an amir. What you're saying, you're not allowed to send something when you know it's inevitable that the goy is going to be doing a malacha for you on Shabbos. You can't.
Special din in mail though.
You're not allowed to. No, you can't. You're not supposed to mail a letter. And if you know that there's chance for the goy to finish the malacha before Shabbos. Okay, or after Shabbos, and he'll decide when to do the malacha, then it wouldn't be awesome. Because it's not inevitable that he's going to do a malacha.
But isn't there a special din in the national postal service? You're allowed to send letters?
He's doing malacha for you.
I'll show you after the
show. Okay.
Is it considered remiza if you say to your maid, can you please make sure that the fire is off and that the lights are off and that some such a room?
No, that's a mirror. It's a mirror.
And then also in the one day shipping case, if you have something like a consent order or say a newspaper, right? Newspapers could be delivered on.
I'll get the newspapers. Yes.
In doing the shipping question, which I know, I would go with an impression that to the post office.
I don't want to discuss it now.
There's not working.
Sorry.
The post office is closed.
Yes.
In the case of one day shipping, isn't that essentially
American? I don't want to discuss it. No. The point is that it's inevitable. You can do a malacha. They have to do a malacha, and you can't set it in motion before Shabbos. If there's enough time for them to do it before or after Shabbos, do it without a malacha, then it would be mutter. All right. The Rambam paskins, and this is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that if the malacha that we're talking about is not a malacha d'oraita, but a malacha d'rabbanon, a shvut, so then there are certain circumstances when Amir would be mutter. The Shulchan Aruch says, for Dvar Mitzvah, The Shulchan Aruch says for Mitzat Choli, we're not talking about Sakan and Nefashot, but Mitzat Choli. And the Shulchan Aruch says, or Tzorech Harbe, which is a pretty vague term, Tzorech Harbe. However, the Achronim come in very, very quickly. The Magen Avraham says that Tzorech Harbe means Hefseid Gadol, has to be a great loss, which is also very hard to define. You would have to come to a posek to talk about what a great loss is. The Mishnah Berurah adds, or Tsar Haguf. Tsar Haguf. So, Tsar Haguf, one application might be air conditioning on an extremely hot day, but I'll get to it a little bit later, more specifically.
Is this
law
flying directly to a mirror?
No, yes, a mirror. A mirror, when there's a Dvar Mitzvah, the Ramah says that if it's a Dvar Mitzvah, and the Tzorach Gadol, meaning a combination of a Dvar Mitzvah and the Tzorach Gadol, it would be mutter even on a Diraita, which the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah quickly are cholik on him and say that no, even the Tzorach Gadol would be osur, so it's a Machoket Achronim. What the Mishnah Berurah does say is that if you're going to be saving Jews from doing a Malacha, doing an Isra on Shabbos, then a Mir al-Akum, even for Diraita, would be mutter, and a common occurrence is, let's say you have a city that has an Eruv, and the Eruv falls down, and you can't tell all the Jews in time that there's no Eruv, and they might go ahead and do a Malacha, and do an Isser. So there the Mishnah Berurah is moder to what the Ramah says, that you're actually allowed to, call up a Goy and say, please fix this Eruv, which is an Isser D'oraita, okay, Isser Bona. You're allowed to do it in order to save save the Jews from doing a malacha. Okay? A very common occurrence on Shabbos is that a person opens up his refrigerator and sees the light is on, so he quickly closes it, right? and achieves, in a way, achieves two malachos. What are you supposed to do if you open the refrigerator and you notice the light's on, or you just remember, without opening the refrigerator, you remember that you didn't unscrew the light bulb before Shabbos. So I would advise you, this you don't have to tell your mothers to do, but when you become Balabatim, when you own your own refrigerator, just unscrew the light bulb forever. I wouldn't say completely take it off, because some little kid might put his finger in the socket, but unscrew it enough that it goes off. It's just not worth it. It's not worth the extra hanno of having light in the refrigerator, all the difficulties that those lights cause, Jews throughout the world, every time they go on. In any case, in the case of a goy, if you have a goy available, you could ask a goy just to get something out of the refrigerator for you. That wouldn't be a problem, because the goy it opens the refrigerator door to get the soda or whatever it is out of the door. The goy is not being mechaving to turn the light on and off. And that's what's called a Dover She'enu Mitchavein. A Dover She'enu Mitchavein for a Jew is Osir. Okay, it's Osir Midrabban, Dover She'enu Mitchavein. But for a Goy, it's not Osir. So that's even if it's a Psik Reisha. Even in a Psik Reisha, for a Goy it wouldn't be Osir if that's not the intent. Okay? And when the Goy opens the refrigerator door and you see the light go on, you could say, oh, I forgot to unscrew the light bulb before Shabbos. Now I'm not going to be able to use my refrigerator because I forgot to unscrew the light bulb before Shabbos. Okay? And then hopefully again, the person will catch on that if he unscrews it, it will be okay. Okay? That would be an Eitzah. Another Eitzah, what if you open the refrigerator door and the light goes on, and now you're in the situation, you're not the one that quickly closed it, but you have the door open and you can't close it, and all the stuff in the refrigerator is going to go off. So another eitzah you could do is you get a little kid, a very little kid, like a 3-year-old or even a 4-year-old, and you just tell him, could you hold the door for a second? Okay, and then you walk out of the room. Now, I want to mention this is a very important halacha that a lot of people don't know. It is absolutely asur to tell a child of almost any age to do a malacha on Shabbos. Okay? So often parents think, oh, we left the light on, we'll just bring the little toddler to the to the light switch and tell him, push it, or look at the light switch, or whatever, etc., etc. You're not allowed to do that. There's a definite issur d'rabbanan if the kid reaches the age of chinuch or anywhere near the age of chinuch. It might be an issur d'oraita in any case, because you might be mitzuva on melacha of your little children, much as you're mitzuva on the melacha of your beasts of burden on Shabbos. In other words, there might even be an issur d'oraita to have a little kid to do melacha. You can't do that. You don't use a kid to do melacha. But in this case, where a kid is told to hold the door, you know, you didn't tell him to do a malacha, and when he walks away, he's completely not aware that he left the door closed and the light went off. Yeah?
Most refrigerators, you know, have hinges that kind of bring the door back. If you just kind of opened it all the way and walked out, and it closed on its own, are you...
No, because you set it in motion. You know the gravity is going to close the door. Or the spring, or whatever. You have no etza, you're supposed to, you know, put a chair there, let it close as much as you can before the button goes, you know, before it presses the button to go off. And that's it. That's what you're supposed to do.
And if you're unsure of the gravity or the mechanism on your fridges,
I don't know. Yes, hello.
If you realize right before you open the door, like, or as you're opening it, that it's going to turn on, can you press against the button before it turns on the light? And then
I don't think that's possible in most. Yeah.
No, like, you just slide something in there and hold down the button.
Your credit card, you slide in the credit card? Of course, if it works, it works.
Okay.
Yeah?
There's no shino you can do to close the door?
Like, such as?
Like, I don't know, close it with feet or something.
No.
It doesn't count.
No. I don't think you could do it. I don't think it would be much to do with this. Yeah.
What's the difference between the fact that the light bulb went on and the fact that now the motor in the refrigerator has to work?
It's a very interesting question. And there are some poskim, although we don't really, most people don't pass on them, that are marked on that. In other words, they actually have, let's say, a refrigerator that has a Shabbos clock that every 15 minutes of the hour it cuts off the electricity so that they could take the stuff in and out. I'm not going to give you the answer now. I don't have the time. If you remind me next week, if I have time, I'll give you the answer. Let me just finish this point, and if there's time, I'll answer more questions. Another situation that Amira La'akum is mutter, if it's L'tzorach L'chole She'ein Bo Sakana. There are three different madregos when you're talking about a chole, when you're talking about Shabbat. One was Mitzach Choli. Okay? Mitzach Choli means a person that has a bad headache. Okay? Meaning he doesn't feel well, but it's not enough that would send him to bed. Okay? A chole She'ein Bo Sakana is a person who's a chole, but we're certain that it's not life-threatening. Okay? Now, what is the definition of a chole? A chole is a person that is basically incapacitated to the point he feels he needs to lie down. And we're talking about normal people, not yeshiva guys. Okay? Meaning, a doctor, lawyer, teacher, Indian chief, or whatever, has normal responsibilities in the day and just feels like so sick that they have to lie down. That's a chole. Okay? Such a chole, it's mutter to ask a guy to do a malacha midyoraita for such a chole.
They have to feel, or is it like that the rabbi would tell them, or someone would tell them?
No, you don't need a doctor to tell you. They feel they cannot function. They feel.
I mean, it's, even if they don't feel they need to go, but if the rabbi tells them that, like, just sit, I don't want you to, it might be contagious or something.
No.
So.
Mothers don't define chole. Okay. All right. The point is that Chazal were not gozer the isur of Amir La'akum when it comes to a chole. There was no gezera in that situation. Okay, and therefore you're allowed to, for the need of a chole, you're not supposed to ask a goy to do malacha that wasn't needed. No, obviously, if it's something that it has to be done through a malacha, it would be okay to do. Therefore, to turn on a light, to turn off a light, would be completely mutter. To ask a guy to buy medicine, to drive to get medicine, to cook something, anything that the chola needs, then you could ask a non-Jew to do. The big chiddush is, again, if it's needed. In other words, if there's a light on in the closet, and you could just easily just close the closet, you're not supposed to ask the guy to shut the light so you could save a few pennies on electricity. That you're not supposed to do.
It'll make you feel even worse, though.
Right. Chazal add on that when you're talking about extreme heat or extreme cold, so Chazal say, Akol cholim eitzel akor, everybody's considered a chola when it comes to extreme cold. And in some climates, extreme heat, but it would have to be like Florida, hot, which sometimes comes to even New York, whatever, have to be extremely hot, and that's the halacha. In other words, if your furnace goes off, or your electricity goes off in your whole house in the winter, and it's really cold outside, you're allowed to ask a goy to turn the electricity back on simply because kol cholim eitzel akor, because of the fact that it gets so cold. In a situation you're talking about a young child under the age of 5 or 6, any time the temperature in his or her room is not to the optimum, you're also allowed to tell a goy to adjust it. Or turn on a heater or whatever it is, because a young child is also considered very sensitive, and therefore if the parent feels that it's not the proper temperature, that it's too cold, then that could be you could tell a guy to adjust the temperature for that. Yes?
So all these cases, let's say you're living in a little shoot and there's no guy, but it's still dangerous.
We have a lot of guys.
Let's say there's no going around, you've no idea where to get a guy from.
Yeah.
And in your 5-year-old's room, it's not as warm as it should be.
No, we're not talking about sakana. We're talking about that there's absolutely no sakana. If there's a shash of sakana, then you do it yourself. You preferably machine if you don't have to, if you can. But I'm not talking about sakana, because there's no sakana.
There's
no sakana. Because Chazal, when that goes there, the person is a chola, they not goes there. In the case of a young child, they're sensitive enough that they're classified as a chola vis-a-vis hot or cold. Okay.
But if they're on a room, nothing.
Nothing, because we're not talking about sakana. Yeah.
Can you tell a goy to do menachah b'shinui, even after a chola?
To tell a goy to do a malacha b'shinui. B'shinui brings it down to an issur d'rabbanan, and you can't, and you're not allowed to.
It has to be for a bar mitzvah or tzibur.
Yeah, I would imagine that you could, like, say, bring it down to a derabanan and would follow the rules of a derabanan. Yeah.
But for like goyim and olim shvut, they obviously all know when a woman runs frantically out of her house and yells, "My electricity went off!" Like, it's a command to turn back on electricity.
I don't know if it's necessarily seen as a command. You're right. It's an interesting point, and turning on electricity is, we'll get into other issues. So even, in other words, it would only be mutter if you can get hana, which just stem the fact that, you know, that it's uncomfortable is not enough. So again, if you're talking about the winter where it's extremely cold, you'd be mutter to tell us straight out to turn on electricity. Okay? All right, we will stop here. Mark.
If you tell the boy that for